Hi, everybody. It's Jack Hubbard, Chief Experience Officer of St. Meyer and Hubbard, and welcome to this very interesting and quite unique 10 Minutes With program. Our guest today is Aaron Whitener. He's the Manager of Sales Engineering at a company called Abrigo, formerly known as SageWorks. Aaron's got some really interesting stories to tell, and you'll really love some of the reports that you see from this very, very unique company. Now, more about that in a minute, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about SageWorks and Abrigo. I met these folks in May of 2018 at the Barlow Research Conference, and in September of 2018, they asked if I would speak at their client conference. Interesting company. It really started out of a need, the need that about 50% of businesses in America go out of business within the first 5 years. And one of the main reasons is that business owners really don't understand financials. They don't understand financial statements. They don't understand the financials behind running a business. They know their craft, but money and finance is really not one of their strong suits in many cases. So SageWorks started out to help, and they did it with artificial intelligence. It started back in 1998. They put some programs together and some reporting together that really helped businesses get beyond that five-year mark. Accounting was their favorite industry, and the accountants really loved their reports, and they work with thousands of them. But in 2001, they caught the attention of banks like Citibank, who started to use SageWorks to help them with loan underwriting and some of those reports that I talked about. So it's been 20 years now since SageWorks was founded, and back in 2018, the SageWorks company became part of the Abrigo family of companies. Now, one of the things I really like about SageWorks and now Abrigo are their reporting. They have about 1,300 banks and credit unions that they work with, but very few are using things like industry data and ratios, financial diagnostic reporting, and projections. Those three reports could add tremendous value to the businesses that banks and credit unions do business with. And that brings us to Aaron Whitener. Aaron is the manager of sales engineering, and he leads Abrigo's bank consulting team. He focuses on educating financial institutions on how to gain maximum earnings and drive productivity by implementing Abrigo loan origination and portfolio risk solutions. As a former credit risk consultant, Aaron has provided training, onboarding, and implementation services for hundreds of banks and credit unions around the country. He's got a degree in business administration and law from Western Case University, and I think you'll find this 10 Minutes With to be a very interesting look at not only some reporting financially, but how to use it in sales conversations and value. Aaron, thanks for joining us today on 10 Minutes With.
Jack, thank you for having me on 10 Minutes With. I greatly appreciate you guys having me on the podcast today. Today, I wanted to focus on how lenders or loan officers, particularly around commercial lending, can leverage technology to increase awareness in their networks that they are not just someone you seek out when you're in need of capital, but also someone you seek out for an overall better borrower experience. And I think a better borrower experience is really fostered through, of course, a quicker and easier access to funds, but also through a personalized touch and an industry expertise of that business owner that you're working with. Before I go right into the presentation, I wanted to take a brief moment to talk about Abrigo, which is a new company that has spawned from the merger of really three industry-leading organizations, all of which are hyper-focused on really servicing and supporting community financial institutions across the country. So under the Abrigo name, we now have a constituency of over 2,100 banks and credit unions, of which we provide solutions from anything from loan origination, portfolio risk, and ABA endorsed allowance for loan and lease loss solutions, all the way to fraud monitoring, BSA, and AML solutions. So our goal is to really become the one-stop shop for end-to-end bank operations and processes across the financial institution market in the country. So again, just to kind of recap on that, we have a single platform that is designed for community financial institutions, 2,100 banks and credit unions, and growing at a fairly rapid clip. And then we also support our software with industry thought leaders, full training, onboarding, and implementation services, an army of CPAs to really assist in any transition when you're deciding to or electing to leverage technology. Just to introduce myself here, I am the manager of sales engineering at Abrigo. So I lead a team of solutions consultants, but I also focus predominantly on educating financial institutions on how to gain efficiencies, maximize earnings, and drive productivity through the implementation of Abrigo's loan origination and portfolio risk solutions. I do have past experience as a credit risk consultant, and I do provide training, onboarding, and implementation of not only our solutions, but industry best practices to our constituents across the country as well. So getting into the presentation here, I'd like to start at kind of the current state, what we see. And really, when we walk into a community bank or a credit union, specifically to consult with loan officers, what we tend to see is kind of a shotgun style approach when it comes to prospecting, where it's really kind of a spray and pray style, where you kind of pepper the marketplace in your area, either with your business card or some kind of marketing collateral, and kind of see what surfaces from that. We also see a lot of siloed roles and data where the loan officers may be out on their own, not necessarily connected to the data systems, the sources, and other personnel within the institution. So they may only get a snapshot of what they need to see when they're interacting with both customers as well as prospects. We're also going to talk about CRM systems. A lot of times they have the best of intentions. Financial institutions have the best of intentions when deploying these systems. However, we see that a lot of CRM systems or customer relationship management systems are not financial institution specific. So they may have the usual suspect that you would expect out of a CRM system in terms of being able to track activities and opportunities, but that's only a limited portion of what a lender in the field may need to access. We also see very antiquated application processes where some commercial lenders may not have any formal application, or at best, if we do have an application, it's not in a digital format that's easy for the borrower to access and implement and input data. We also see very binary conversations when it comes to loan decisions. It may be a yes, it may be a no, and we're not providing much color around a declination if that occurs. Why were you declined? Here's the reasons why. So we want to highlight that as well. And lastly, we commonly view rate sheets or pricing indexes without consideration to the overall relationship of that business owner and all of the other businesses or properties they may own, or other guarantors or co-borrowers that are they're associated with. So what we try and aim to do is rectify all of these issues by providing a comprehensive evaluation of their current state and then offering them an ideal state through technology. So what does that lead to? Generally, when you have all of these disconnected systems, loan officers without the appropriate technology, the only way to grow is really to throw more bodies at the problem. When you leverage technology, you can keep the same staff and increase loan growth through the efficiency provided in the technology. So that's what I aim to focus on next. Jack, do you have any questions on what we've covered so far?
I do. And you may be covering this a little bit later, Aaron, but I'm really interested in the application process and what banks have done specifically. And maybe you can't name the name of the bank or the credit union, and I get that. But anything specific that organizations have done to streamline this on behalf of the customer? And the reason I'm asking that question is, if you look at any survey, one of the things that's really important to generate new business is for the bank or credit union to be easy to buy from. And I find that that's a real challenge, especially on the lending side. So what do you see in there?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is quite common that, and from every survey that we have seen as well, the first one to respond has an exponentially higher chance of winning that business. So the quicker the application process can be, the easier it can be for the applicant. Everybody wins, both borrower and loan officer, the bank in general. So what we're seeing is a conversion to a more digital application that is easy for the borrower to navigate and upload not only their profile information, the details of the request, but all of the required documentation that's going to be needed to facilitate that request from end to end, all in one digital experience. So that's probably one of the larger impacts that a financial institution can have on their entire lending process, is focusing kind of at the tip of the spear with that digital application. And we can certainly go into that in greater detail. Another thing that really assists loan officers in kind of presenting themselves as an industry expert is with industry data. So the ability to tap into an industry database that you can search by NAICS code, revenue range, and geography will allow you to get an apples-to-apples comparison of your borrower compared to every other borrower of a like industry vertical in a specific geographic area. So the advantage of being able to go down to the revenue range and the state level is that you're not comparing a mom-and-pop shop to some massive conglomerate just because they have the same NAICS code. So the ability to tap into this and sort and filter and create very specific apples-to-apples comparisons allows the loan officer to go in and present this information to a customer or a prospect and say, here's what we're seeing in the industry. Are you experiencing the same ups and downs? Are you experiencing the same positives and negatives in your business? So it facilitates a better conversation with a prospect. Now, if you take this information to an existing relationship, it also allows you to have a higher touch point or another touch point and the ability to facilitate a conversation for the next request that may occur. And these systems can be found in spreading systems. You can get this information in industry associations or local business groups. But it is important that you're able to narrow your search down to create a true apples-to-apples comparison. We also see this information being leveraged as value-add reporting over the life of that relationship.
Well, I really love this. And about a year ago, I had a great opportunity before it was Abrigo, to present at the SageWorks conference in Chicago. And I had a chance to look at some of the reports that this one and others that Aaron's going to talk about today. And Aaron, the thing that staggered me is when I did my speech, and I probably had 100 folks in the audience, all your clients, and I said, how many of you are aware of this feature, this benefit? And very few raised their hand. And then when I said, well, those of you that know about it, how likely is it that you're using it to take to clients to provide value? And nobody raised their hand. And so I think too often what happens in resources like yours is that people look at this as an underwriting tool. It's no different than Vertical IQ, which is another great tool. But a lot of people view that as a underwriting tool. It's a sales tool. This is of great value to clients, and I'm curious, Aaron, how your banks and credit unions, to your knowledge, are using this to take out to clients and members, because when I did my speech, I didn't get a whole lot of amens around this.
Sure. No, it's a really good question. I think there's two key ways in how this information is being deployed in the marketplace. One kind of ties back to that spray and pray mentality and how it can better prospecting. So if I'm sending out mailers or marketing collateral, I can configure this industry information to be specific to the business owner that receives that information. So if you're targeting medical practices and they open marketing collateral that's specific to medical practices and how they're performing, they are much more likely to engage with you as opposed to a very general mailer that comes from every other financial institution in the marketplace. It shows that this bank knows me, knows my market, and what I'm looking for, my struggles into an industry financial level, right? Beyond just a general marketing collateral piece. And then we also have banks and credit unions that are leveraging this as value add reporting for existing customers. So at the end of the year or the quarter, if you look at their top 10 relationships with the greatest amount of exposure, this is part of their package beyond just issuing them funds. It's saying, here's your industry data report. Here's how you're performing. And again, that opens up the conversation far beyond, you know, what do you need in terms of funds? It's, hey, I see X, Y, and Z is escalating or it's degrading over time. Are you aware of that? So again, it's just an additional data source or conversation piece.
And speaking of conversations, I just did a program for a state banking association on prospecting. We do this all the time. And one of the struggles bankers are having is how do I have that phone call to get in the door with the decision maker? How do I leave a voicemail that's going to get returned more than 8% of the time? Now, if I'm a banker and I could see some of this data and I could say, Mr. Johnson, in the last 12 months, based on 763 businesses just like yours, the gross profit margin is 29.72%. Now, that's up from 2017. I'd love to show you some more data that might compare favorably or unfavorably to your business, but at least it helped might take it to the next level. Would you be interested in having a conversation with me? That much more effective than saying something like, I'd like to come out and show you how I can save you some money on your banking relationship, which is absolutely an insane way to start a partnership. So this is data that all of your clients have, Aaron. And it's kind of, to me, and I said this in my speech with y'all, it's like a Seinfeld episode. To have the information, you just don't use the information. But I'm interested to see what other reports you have. This is fabulous stuff.
Sure. And on the coattails of that comment, Jack, I would urge the viewers of this content to put it to the test and try this out in your prospecting initiatives. And I guarantee that you will see an increase in your callbacks, the opportunities that will come from it. So now that's one part is the industry data. We can take it a step further. And once we have information on that business, if we are able to secure some sample financials, running those sample financials through a projection system. The Abrigo network allows for financials to be rapidly analyzed and spread and then projected out monthly, quarterly, or annually out to 10 years. If you can sit down with a prospect after receiving some of the financial information and walk them through what we're looking at in the next few months, few quarters, all the way out to 10 years, and play out what if scenarios, what if we did give you this loan? What happens if we increased X, Y, and Z metric? Or we decrease your receivables days. We can play those scenarios out and show them how are they going to incur these new scenarios? What happens to their overall valuation? So again, that enhances that initial conversation where we just had industry data. Now we're taking their actual information, combining it with the industry, and seeing how they're going to perform over the next few years. And I think that's extremely valuable for a business owner, especially a small business owner that may not be receiving this level of service from their CPAs. The CPAs may be providing them tremendous value in terms of generating tax returns, maybe providing some consultative service, but this takes it to the next level, enhances that relationship between the bank and the borrower. And we're seeing survey results out there that are showing that banks are being looked at more as a consultative resource than CPAs in the last 5 years. So the evidence supports that. And if you can deploy these resources, I think you would be part of that statistic.
Well, and thinking like a salesperson, if I'm a banker, one of the things I want to do is I want to get more referrals from the CPAs. I want to make sure that they know that we can be a trusted advisor too. And so having meetings with the client and with the CPA shines a positive light on what the CPA has done. It doesn't get into lender liability or bankers trying to run the business, but it does show the CPA, okay, here's a bank that's much more than a repository of deposits and a maker of loans. This is a real trusted advisor that some of my other clients might be able to use. This is powerful stuff, Aaron.
Yep. And Jack, you know, we can take it a step further. After the industry data and we get the sample financials, not only running a projection, but generating a plain English narrative that gives key performance indicators, key metrics on how that business is performing, but also taking the numbers and converting that into a plain English narrative that a business owner doesn't have to go back to accounting courses in college to understand. This allows them to see how am I performing right now, year over year, and what are some tips for improvement, and what could I be doing a little bit better? This is also really powerful for a lender that may have to say no. This gets back to that binary conversation around when we decline somebody or when we approve somebody, it's not just yes and here's your funds or no and we'll see you later. This is now a leave behind that says this is why we approved you, or if we have to render a declination, here are the things that you could work on. And what that cultivates is now a relationship that when and if they make these corrections, who do you think that they're going to come back to? All of the other banks that said no, or the bank and the lender that provided them with key insights into how their business is performing? Questions on the narrative capabilities there, Jack?
Well, comment. When we started our business 19 years ago, Bob St. Meyer took the role of CFO, and he's got some great knowledge around financing and numbers. And I'm not much of a numbers person. But over the years, he's been able to teach me what these balance sheets and income statements look like. The fact is that a lot of businesses, small businesses, even businesses like us, that don't have someone that has financial knowledge is in real trouble. You could sell yourself right out of business if you're not careful. And to your point, I think a banker needs to say no quickly and then help the business that they say no to understand how to get to yes. And this is a great tool to be able to have some very specific, and as I look at it, very commonplace narrative on what a business needs to be able to do to be more successful and get to yes. So good stuff.
Sure. And I do want to stress that these narrative reports are based on an AI engine. This is not something that the loan officer has to spend countless hours back solving to this narrative report. There is technology in the marketplace that will do this in a matter of a few seconds, a button click that will rapidly analyze the financial statements that you've already used to do things like the projection analysis or any spreads you've created for underwriting. So you can leverage the exact same information that you have on file, hit a button, generate a comprehensive 1 to 10 page report. And again, that's another value add report that can be provided on a quarterly or even monthly basis for business owners that may really latch onto this data.
Well, you're right, Aaron. And I think unfortunately, technology has become, and AI have become, zero sum games. In other words, the fintechs of the world do it with AI and technology. You apply for a loan, you get the loan, you get the money, and away you go. I think we as community bankers need to look at this as a partnership and say, there's a blend here of being able to use technology effectively and to be able to deliver it in a conversational mode with the customer. That's why a customer comes to a community bank or a large bank is to have help, not just some kind of robotic yes or no. So again, good stuff.
Great. Now, another part of the equation is also how do you manage your customers and your prospects? And if at the beginning of the call, we talked about antiquated CRM systems. And there are some really great CRM systems out there that are really tailored to small businesses or even large enterprises. What we have found in kind of our research is that very few of the CRM systems that are available are tailored to a community bank. or a community financial institution. So what you might find is that a financial institution will pour tens of thousands of dollars into a subscription for a CRM system that gives them very, very basic data, contacts associated with that customer or prospect, opportunities that you have out, maybe activities that you've performed with them. And then beyond that, we really get very, very limited data points. And they may not be connected, those CRM systems may not be connected to all of the other systems that a financial institution may hold. Their spreading system, their risk rating system, speaking to the core, et cetera. Generally, those connections are not found within most CRM systems. So if a community financial institution is looking at bringing in a CRM, they want to make sure that it's connected to every other system. So if a loan officer is in the field and they pull up a customer or a prospect, they not only have the usual suspects in terms of contacts and activities, but they also need to see the policy exceptions that have that are out with that customer. What risk rating calculations have been performed? What covenants do they have tied to any of the loans with that relationship? What collateral do we have tied to the relationship? All of these data points can be pulled into a CRM system. So the value of that is tenfold. When you're about to walk into a meeting with a customer, you know exactly where they're at. All of their documents, policy exceptions, collateral, covenants. I think all of the information from your tickler tracking system should be present there so that when you walk into that customer meeting, you have all of the data. You're not going to ask them for documents that were just submitted yesterday. It's instant. You're going to know what's coming due. So while you're there, you can say, hey, I know that we've got a loan that's going to require your personal financial statement or tax return. Do you have that today? It's a better experience across the board, and you're not asking the customer questions that you already should have the answer to, and I think that's key. So a true 360-degree view of the relationship, being able to look at their exposure and anything tied to that relationship, not just activities, but across the board, I think is kind of pivotal and paramount to a CRM system that's geared towards lending and geared towards a bank. Any questions on CRM systems there, Jack?
We could probably do 10 hours with around CRM, Aaron, but good stuff here.
Sure. And I want to stress that a CRM system generally should be web-based. So if you do have lenders or if you are a lender out in the field, you need the ability to be able to pull this up on a cell phone or a tablet and actually walk through this during the meeting or while you're at the meeting with that borrower or prospect. So having all of those data points there with you instead of having to download a system and it's only accessed at a branch or back at HQ kind of defeats the purpose. So being mobile friendly is certainly key there as well. Now this is, again, back to an earlier question you had, Jack, applications. We see quite commonly when we walk into a community bank or a credit union that the commercial teams very rarely will have an actual formal application. They may have an application process. It may be in the minds of the lenders or the underwriting staff. Very rarely do we actually have a formalized application. And if there is a formal application, more times than not, it's a paper-oriented process. Or at best, it's a fillable PDF that is distributed to the borrower. What we are aiming for is a digital experience, a web-based experience. So there are providers in the marketplace, Abrigo is certainly one of them, that allows you to deploy a digital application through multiple methodologies, one of which would be embedded on your website. So a borrower can go online after work on their own time, hit apply now, and start that application process. We also have the ability to distribute applications directly to a borrower via email. And of course, we know that lenders are out in the field, meeting face to face with people. So we have the ability, again, through mobile, a cell phone or a tablet, pull up an application. And regardless of whether or not that borrower actually sees the application, the lender can be taking notes and facilitating the process in an all digital format without paper. And I think that's key. And no matter how the borrower interacts with that application, whether it's web-based, through email, or face-to-face with the lender, the application, again, needs to speak to all of the other systems and personnel that may not be right there at the table with the borrower. So if they fill out profile-level information or loan-level detail, all of that information can be leveraged throughout the remainder of the underwriting process. So we get back to that quicker turnaround. If we capture all of the data up front, we get all the information we need, we're collecting all the required documentation in terms of personal financial statements, tax returns, rent rolls, et cetera, we can have the system perform much of the preliminary underwriting in a matter of a few seconds without having to send it back to a team. So if I'm sitting with a borrower, I can collect this information, I can hit a button and render a pre-approval. Or if it's within the institution's lending authorities, I could give an approval right there in a matter of a few seconds. So we eliminate the bottlenecks. It's a better borrower experience. You get quicker turnaround and everyone's happy. What are your thoughts on digital applications, Jack?
Well, we've done a lot of studies and we know a lot of folks in the marketplace who talk about lead measures around scorecarding. And one of those is time to close. And the faster you can get this process through the snake, through the credit snake, the better off you are. I think a lot of folks that work at banks and credit unions on the lending side view rate and terms as the number one thing. It's not. They are not. Time is the key. And the easier you can make it for the borrower, the easier you can make it for the lender, Aaron, the better everybody's going to be. And you really do remove, once you show timeliness and get at itness, that is a differentiator for you. And that may be enough for a borrower to say, I'd like to go with this organization because they are Johnny on the spot.
I completely agree. And the application, as far as Abrigo is concerned, is dynamic in nature. And a lot of folks are concerned about deploying a digital application because they feel it may be too rigid. Our system will allow you to upload all of the required documentation. And based on the inputs that the borrower or loan officer provides, it will adhere to the financial institution's policies. So what I mean by that even more specifically, if I go in the application and I put in a $250,000 CRE request, the system is going to use if-then logic to build out the required documents list. So now the loan officer doesn't have to think, oh geez, what are the 30 things I need to ask for this time? And the borrower has a very specific, clear, concise list of what's going to be required to facilitate that request. And that's really big because when we talk about bottlenecks or slow decisions, generally it's caused by a lot of back and forth. Loan officer has to go back to the borrower and ask them for another document, ask them for another document that the borrower may have thought they already submitted. With a digital interface, both the lender and the borrower are able to see exactly what needs to be uploaded, what has already been uploaded, and the remainder of the documentation that needs to be submitted in order to facilitate that request. So it's just a better experience across the board. Great. So Jack, I'm more than happy to get into the actual Abrigo interface and show some of these things in real time. But I'd like to open it up to just general Q&A around what we've discussed so far.
Yeah, and that's fine. We can see a couple of things. I want to make sure that we're sensitive to folks' time on this program as well as yours. I do have one question, and then you can jump into a couple of reports if you want, Aaron. I think if I'm a bank CEO or credit union president, one of the things I want to know is if I do things like what you've mentioned, I think too often software companies have kind of basics and then there's a lot of add-ons. So my question is, the three reports that you showed, the various industry reports, the what-if calculations, and the narrative, if I purchase Abrigo, SageWorks, does that come automatically with your system?
That is a great question, Jack. So the way that we look at our system is really end-to-end capable, with the ability for a president or a CEO or a market president to solve for today's issue, but provision for things that may not have occurred. So I have the ability to kind of pick and choose what applications or solutions within the broader platform that help me meet today's pain points. So specifically, to answer your question, the industry data, the narrative analysis, the projections, the underwriting is all just one portion of the entire end-to-end platform. So a community bank or a credit union, if they're wishing to deploy those kind of reports, those value add reports, or they need to be able to provide complex global cash flow analysis, all of that is just housed in one solution of the broader platform. So we are modular, but we kind of view ourselves as a platform that a bank or a credit union can grow into, but will never grow out of.
Okay, that's fair. And these are the kind of reports that I think are absolutely vital beyond simply the underwriting approach. And you've brought something up today, Aaron, that I hadn't even thought of. And I then took it to a next level because of our background in prospecting. But if you look at this industry data and the analysis that you do, those are things that a small business doesn't tend to hear much from their banker. So that might be enough to get me in the door, make them curious enough, and show some value and differentiation. That might be enough to generate some business for this banker.
Sure. We are seeing with our customer base an average of 38% loan growth compared to institutions that are not leveraging technology. Whether it's causation or correlation, the evidence is strong that you don't need to just throw bodies at the problem. Technology is the path. Then if you do choose to hire additional lenders, loan operations, loan admin staff, their work becomes more efficient and the gains grow exponentially.
And don't discount that last comment by Aaron around loan assistance and an admin staff. These are folks that talk to your clients and members all the time. And arming them with some information, enough information to at least have knowledge of the system, not that they have to delve deeply into the system, but to say that, yes, we do have these a way to do what-if calculations. Yes, we do have some industry narrative. Like to have you talk to my resource manager about that. That's a terrific thing. So, Aaron, I just have one question and one comment before you before we wrap this up. My comment is really interesting. You're the first organization that has come back to us with my vision of what a relationship manager really is, and that's a resource manager. And I hope that people today were able to see, using this product and Aaron's resources, that you can be a resource manager. And when people say to me, what is a resource manager? I think you get a sense through this that this is exactly what a resource manager could look like. But Aaron, here's my final question. And then we'll let you go and do your good work. The question I have is, where is this headed? Look down 5 years from now, Aaron, 3 years. You're in this business every day. What's next for technology on the lending side of the house?
It's a great question, Jack. I think for us as a company specifically, we want to become a one-stop shop, right? It's very common when we walk into a bank or credit union that they may have upwards of 10 different vendors. And all of the solutions provided by those individual vendors may not be communicating to one another. So I think that the future state of banking technology will be integrated platforms that speak to not only the core, but every solution that they're subscribed to or that they're leveraging or that they may have installed in the system. And I also think that that's going to communicate directly to the borrower. So the interfaces, the online banking resources is going to show the borrower much more information than they're seeing today. It may get into individual transactions or the ability to actually monitor their loans and see their risk rating calculations if the institution wants to show that level of detail, or the ability to open a deposit account as well as create a new online loan application in the exact same interface. So I think as systems become more open to communicating with one another, the borrower experience is going to get much better. And I think that the vendors in the marketplace will also see greater returns as they open up their architectures, their IT infrastructures to allow a more fluid data back and forth moving into the future. So I think that's where we're heading as a company, but I'm very confident that most technology vendors in the marketplace are also moving towards a more solid integration across all platforms.
Well, and when more technology firms like yourself does it, lifts all boats. You're certainly not the only one in the marketplace. You do it as well as anybody. But to your point, if all technology solutions could look at this as a one-stop shop, a total integration, a resource management approach, it would benefit everyone. Hey, Aaron, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today, telling us about where you guys are headed and what's going on the lending side. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jack. Greatly appreciate your time today.
You owe it to yourself, if you're a banker in commercial or credit union that's getting involved in business banking, to reach out to Aaron Whitener. His email address is aaron.whitener, W-H-I-T-E-N-E-R, at abrigo.com. Lots of resources there. Aaron, thanks again for joining us today on 10 Minutes With. This is Jack Hubbard, Chief Experience Officer of St. Meyer & Hubbard. Join us again for a future industry guru, best-selling author, or best practices provider on 10 Minutes With.